Okay, we start the next sugya in the end of Siman Tzadibay, so we have to learn a little bit of Kachim first. So usually when we speak about the sugyas of Kashm and Kalim, so we usually look towards Parshas Matos, when the Torah speaks about when you get Trefa Kalim from the Goyim, so Libra and Nagol, all the sugyas, all the details of Kashm and Kalim. So there's another Parsha of Kashm and Kalim in the Torah, that's the Parsha in Parshas Tzav, very exciting Parsha. Maybe Yom Zeh will speak about this, there's about Mitzvah Drasha, about Mirkesh Tifa, about Kachim and Chulin, I don't know, we'll see. But I wouldn't bet on it, but the Torah speaks about if you cook Kachim, if you cook Karbanos in a regular Kli, and now the Kli gets a Bliya of Kachim, so after a short amount of time, you're going to run into a big problem here, because you have no sir, either the end of the day, the next day, whatever, depending on what you're cooking. So then the foods, the bleas can become nicer, and I can never use that pot anymore. So what do you do? So the Torah says, no problem. If it's a cheres kli, it's a big problem. Kli cheres yivush abo yishaver. You have to break it, because that's the mock of a Torah. Ido kli cheres, and yes, definitely oilam. We'll talk about that a lot more if we get to the city of the country came at the end of the year. And then it says, in v'chlina choshes v'shalom v'rapa shetav l'mayim. So you have to kasher it. And then maybe do a little bit more than regular kasher. And again, we'll talk about rikushtifa hopefully later on. So why are we talking about this in Siman Tzadibeis? Because tucked away in the sugyas of Mritu Shtifa until the end of Maseches Bachim, the Gemara is the following din. The Gemara says, if you cook a little bit of chatas, a little bit of kachim in part of the kli, bisha b'mixas hakli, so then you require Mritu Shtifa b'chol hakli. So you can't just say, well, I only cooked that little corner for the kli, so don't bother me about the rest of the kli. No. The mitzvah satayim, Mritu Shtifa has to happen on the entire kli. That's it, finished. The Gemara was a pasuk in Shem. So it's unclear from the Gemara why exactly that phenomenon is true. Why exactly is that halacha true? So in between the lines of the Gemara, and again, maybe a machlokes in the Gemara itself, but there are two different ways that emerge from that sugya to understand what this halacha is all about. One way of understanding is that this is a kosa of minuchas kachim. You're learning a briska kailalim, so you'll learn this sugya. It has nothing to do with anything else. This has nothing to do with any other area of halacha. In the clean, the entire kli. Not that the tam necessarily spread to the other parts of the kli, like mehechatesi, physically the tam spread. Maybe the tam is taka localized. That's the way it is. But maybe no. Maybe what the Torah is telling us here is a statement of reality, a statement of halachic reality, that whenever you have a little bit of a bliya in a little bit of a kli, so it's tantamount to having a bliya in the entire kli. That the tam here, this is not the treifas, this is the tam of the kachur, of the chata shalom, whatever it is. The tam is mefapeh b'chol hakli. When you have a little bit of a bli on the bottom of the kli, so that it automatically spreads through the walls, gets through all ends, all surrounding, all the way to the other end of the pot, 10 feet away, a big pot, all the way to the other end. The tam is mefapeh b'chol hakli. So it's unclear from the Gemara, is this exerts a kosav in kachim, or is this a statement of reality, physical reality that they're teaching us, which again, if it's a statement of reality, so then it obviously is going to potentially affect Hilchos Kashrus. So with this background, this lack of clarity in the Gemara, that we have to approach the discussion of the Rishonim about the Tipus Cholov Shenofa Ala Keder Mibachutz. Everything we've been talking about until this point in Siman Tzadibeis has been really focusing primarily on the one Mishnah of in Kolobosa, in Kuv Ches, about a Tipus Cholov Shenofa Ala Secha Kedera. Whether it fell on top of the meat, whether it fell into the kedera, is the meat halfway in, halfway out, in that directed, out directed, Rashi, tell you, there's so many different factors. But one thing is clear, we know where the tipa has been falling. We may not know exactly where it is falling, but at least it's falling inside. Now, all of a sudden, the Rishonim start to extrapolate from that, so you know, what if the tipa didn't fall into the pot? But if it falls on the side of the pot, on the outside of the pot, what would the halacha be? Is that the same as the tipa's cholosh enough from the finim or not? So all of a sudden, the Rishonim discover this Gemara Maseches Bachim and say, well, maybe it depends on that Gemara Maseches Bachim. Maybe we have to learn that Gemara carefully and see. When a little bit of kachim is cooked in a small part of the pot, do we assume that it all spreads or not? So come to Rishonim, and everybody's looking at the same Gemara and coming to radically different conclusions, what exactly that Gemara is relevant for us. So the two are quotes, a whole series of different opinions in the Rishonim. What we're supposed to make of that Gemara in terms of Anu Shai, the Kol Tipus Chol Shenofa Ala Lakdemi Bechutz. So the two are quotes in the name of the Smag, where the Smag works with the following Hanukkah, the following premise. The Smag says, what we would like to happen, we want to keep this Tipa as localized as possible. That's really the goal. If you can keep the Tipa mamish localized, well, you get your pot over here. Cooking your meat inside your pot, blue. So we're going to use blue to make fleshiks, even though those houses are not like that. Just going to mix colors over here. All right? So I have my food, a piece of meat is sitting over here. The drop of milk has fallen over here. Don't look exactly whether it's kinegana. I don't want to hear about kinegana rotev yet. I'm not interested. I've never heard of that term yet. Okay? It doesn't come into the halakha for the next line. But the tipas cholov jumps in over here. So the question is, do we have a right to say, oh, tipas cholov fell here? It's not going anywhere. It's not moving around anywhere here. It's not going to affect the food. Or do we say, no, that's not. It shoots around, it jumps around, it goes all around the Moab bush, goes all over the place. So the smart takes the approach that what we'd like to happen is it should really stop dead in its tracks. That's the best thing that could happen for us. If it starts to spread, then we're asking for trouble. Then we're potentially going to trade up the food. So comes the smog with it. So what happens? Does it spread or does it not spread? So what's the answer? Well, we have no idea because we don't know why is it that the din is that you need Mariko Shtifa on the entire pot. In the case of Kutcher, we know for a fact you need Mariko Shtifa on the whole pot. What we don't know is that because it's really Mifapeya, which over here would spell trouble for us, says the smog. What can we say? No, that it's not Mifapeya. It really doesn't go all that far and doesn't go throughout the entire pot. It's never going to make it anywhere near the food. But the only reason why you need a Mariko Shtifa on the whole pot in Kutcher is because it's Xeris Akos Menuchas Kutcher. So then in Hilchas Vachem in Kutcher, it has nothing to do with your Adeas and Metzadi days. So we look at the Gemara, you can't really tell. So we have a Suffolk. We don't know what the din is. So it turns the smog around and says, you know what? We have to be Machmi here. It's possible that it's Mefapeya, and that's the worst thing that could happen to us to say it's Mefapeya, because if it's Mefapeya, then it's going to wreck up, it's going to ruin all the food inside. We'd love to say it's Mefapeya, but we can't really tell from the Gemara's Mach. That's the basic approach. Comes the tour and then quotes the Maram Ruthenberg, who also looked at the same exact Gemara and walked away with a radically different conclusion. Comes the Maram Ruthenberg and says, you know what we would like to happen? If we had on our wish list, we would like very much to say with real certainty that this Tipas Cholov is Mefapeya. That's what I would love to happen, to have this Tipas Cholov Mefapeya. Why would I want it to be Mefapeya? So I'll tell you why, says the Maram Ruthenberg. Because if it's Mefapeya, then where's it going? So it's entering into the walls of the pot, and it's shooting around, all around the Mobe bush. But guess what? Every place it goes, what's it bumping into? Loads and loads of bleas, because this pot's been used. It's bleas. This is soaked through and through with food. And guess what? There's most probably, this is all of a one little tiny teapot. How much is it? Mistama the shishim of bleos of basar. I'm cooking a big giant style. I'm cooking a cholim pot. It's a massive yeshivish cholim pot, Friday night cholim. A little bit deeper scholar falls on the outside. So the more mefapeya is up to Mount Ruthenberg, the better off we are. If it's mefapeya, so it's going to bump into all the pre-existing bleos, it's going to be mevapel itself. So we would love, we would hope and pray, our wish list is that it should be mefapeya. So says the Maram Ruthenberg, great, okay, so is it mefapeya? It's not mefapeya. Let's go back to the Gemara and see if it's a speaker. We're not sure whether it's mefapeya or not. So both the Smag and the Maharam Ruthenberg end up in a pickle. They both end up assering, in effect, but for two radically different reasons. The Smag is assering because the Smag is assuming that Ken Zion it is mefapeya. The Maram Ruthenberg is assering because he's cheshesh, but maybe it's not mefapeya. And if it's not mefapeya, then what? So it's not mefapeya. So what happens if it's not mefapeya? Imagine it doesn't go, it doesn't mevatel, it doesn't mefapeya. So what happens? It kind of gets stuck, localized. It kind of, gets stuck over this picture. It's not looking all that clear anymore. I'm trying to make it clear. I'm probably not going to succeed. So I have my piece of meat over here. My tipa got over here, and I have no right to say it's going all around, because I'm not really sure what the Gemara's Vachem is saying. So I have to assume that it kind of got stuck over here, and it localized, all right? It localized, so now what? So what happens if it localized? If it just got stuck locally, what do I have over here? What do I have over here in the small area that it landed? I also have bleas of fleishiks in there. If I have bleas of fleishiks in that small area where it landed, I have basar and cholof together. I have the tipas cholof plus the basar, but what is my ratio now? And the foggiest knew what my ratio is, but I have no reason to assume that it's shishim. If I could have said with a straight face that it gets throughout the entire pot, then I could have explained the way that the shishim and everything would have been hunky-dory. But I can't make that statement, says the Maharam, because it's the suffix in the Gemara, suffix how we read Pshat in the Gemara. So I have to be chayishish that it landed in a very small area. And the worst of the worst of the worst, what could possibly be, just within the boundaries, if I draw boundaries around the precinct, the area that the little drop of milk settled in, what may be, what's the worst number I could possibly think could be there? This would be the worst of the worst. What's the number? There, oh my goodness, 59 times basar to that little, why can't I get one more drop of basar? I couldn't, that's it. That's the worst case. It may be 59, maybe 30, maybe 38. I have no idea what the number is, but it's possible that it's 59. If it's more than 60, that would be great. If it's all the way down the bottom, it wouldn't be so bad. Maybe it's 59. What happens? Assuming the worst case scenario, I now have one molecule of chalav, the 59 molecules of basar. So what just happened? Three bad words just happened. Chaticha nasas nevela. Everything in this area just became chaticha nasas nevela of basar b'chalav. Okay? Now here, the Maharam Rudenberg is assuming that even though initially it wasn't mefapeya, so initially I couldn't use everything here, as time goes on, if it sits here long enough, what may end up happening? It may really start to spread. It's possible this problem is going to start to spread. The minute that later spreading starts to happen, I have a very, very big problem in my hands. What's my big problem? I don't know how to do advanced math at this point. Because it's possible now, it's going to start to spread. As it starts to spread, so I start to get happy, remember? I'm happy when things spread. Why am I happy when things spread? Because the faster, right, the more it spreads, so the more chance I can be mitzayif everything else to that's in the pot, to bump it out, right? You know what's the problem, everybody say? The problem is I now have to be mevatel, not just the tipa, now I have to be mevatel, that 59 basa plus the original tipa, which basically meant 60, right? 59 plus 1 is, I now have 60 molecules. So now I have to be mevatel 60 molecules of iser. I don't have to be mevatel one molecule of cholov, I have to be mevatel 60 times of basa b'cholov. So what do I need? What's the famous Maram Rudenberg's famous calculation? Shishim pam shishim. 60 times 60, which is what? Right, is that right? Okay, 3,600. So comes in Maram Rudenberg and says, therefore, if you have such a shaila, you have a tipas chol. If I know exactly there was 1 ounce of milk that splashed onto the edge of the pot, I have to make a cheshbon. I have to have 3,600 times of stuff inside to be mevatel that original tipas chol. That's the shita of the Maram Rudenberg. According to the Maram Rudenberg, what comes out is, it's as the Beis Yosef is ma'arur, it's diametrically opposed to everything that the Smag was talking about. The Smag was so willing to say that lo yitzuya, that nothing happened, lo yitzuya that wasn't mefapeya at the beginning, that would have made life better for everybody. And the Maram Rudenberg is saying the fact that it's not mefapeya at the beginning, and now it's going to be mefapeya later on, that's what's adding service. I can't even Maram Rudenberg. So basically, now the Torah quotes a third possibility, a third pot. So far we have the Maharam, so far we have the Smach who's praying that it's not mefapeya. We have the Maram Rudenberg who's praying that it should be mefapeya. Now we have the third possibility. That's the Shita Sasmach, which ultimately becomes the most important Shita for us, the Halach. Not the Smach, the Smach. The other day in Shir, we quoted the Rabbeinu Yehuda Mikravil. Right, I called the Rimi Kravil. The Rimi Kravil, Rabbeinu Yitzchak Mikravil, was the Smach, but that was the Rishon called the Rabbeinu Yehuda Mikravil. Was not the Smach. So this is a correction from the Sanhedrin. I belong to the Tzubashiru. Okay, good. Only because the whole Shia today was Badak Mart Sanhedrin. I forgot Masech Tzulani. Okay, it's been a long night. Okay, so Rabbi Say, getting over here, comes the Smach and says a whole new factor. Says the Smach, I have a lot of food, a lot of basar kicking around over here, a lot of rotiv over here. Now the tipas chalav is shooting over here. Says the smak. Now we have to ask ourselves where exactly this tipas chalav is gonna land. This is called keneged haroitev. In contrast to shalok keneged haroitev. So says the smak. You gotta remember to be watching this. You gotta be watching this, gotta video this as the milk is spritzing. Okay. Did it land keneged habasa? Keneged haroitev? Or does it land on top of the basa, above the water level? Ma'nafkamina. So comes the smach and says, if it lands over here, keneged with the rate, with the bus, where the tafshil is, then you're home free. Then you have l'chayre nothing at all to worry about. There's nothing, het the grammar, you can eat this meat, everything is shalom by Yisrael, there's nothing at all to worry about. Why? No, what's the smak say? It's famous what? It's famous mimarav shach. He says, no matter how you slice it, you want to tell me the Gemara in Zvachim, I'm also a Brit. I also go with the Gemara in Zvachim. But here, says the smak, I'm one step ahead of everybody else. I'm going to quote the Gemara in Zvachim, l'kuva. The Gemara in Zvachim is going to be the source that everything is fine. You know why? Because mimarav shach, says the smak. You tell me whether things in mefapeh b'chol are clear enough. Stop, forget. Play devil's advocate. You tell me what happens when that milk falls in. If the milk is mefapeh, it's going to be okay. If the milk is not mefapeh, it's also going to be okay. I'm going to present now this mamadav shach, the way the Beis Yosef and the Shach understood this mamadav shach. The Taz had a legamri different shot in this smach. But a little conventionalism. Everyone saw the Shach and the Taz. The two different ways of reading what the mamadav shach was. Let's keep it easy for us. The sugya is complicated enough without recomplicating it or more complicating it. Let's just go to the Beis Yosef and the Shach, the regular standard way, what the mamadav shach is. So comes the Beis Yosef and the Shach and says, reading the smach, the mamadav shach. Lo yitzuyar, that it's mefapeya. It's mefapeya. It's one all around. It's mefapeya. That's great, because what does the smach fundamentally hold? Like who? He fundamentally holds like who? Like the Maharam. The more mefapeya, the better. He holds the antithesis of the smach. The smach held, the more mefapeya, the worse. No, says the smach. The more mefapeya, the better. Because the more mefapeya, then it's going to bump into all the bleas inside the wall. And all those bleas are going to help the mevatle. You're obviously going to have more than shishim. You've been using this pot for the last 20 years, so you have loads and loads and loads of other food junk inside the walls of the pot. That's all going to help the mevatle of the tefillah. So if you're mefapeh, you're home free. But whereas the Maharam in Wurttemberg got stuck and said, well, what if it's not mefapeh? So the Maharam in Wurttemberg said, oh my goodness, if it's not mefapeh, then it gets stuck in motion over here. And now you need 59, you need 3600, the whole math goes crazy. Says the smachna. I'm going to tell you, if it's not mefapeh, you're also okay. Why are you also okay if it's not mefapeh? What does it mean, it's not mefapeh? Where is it going? It's just going to land there and just sit there and wait. I'd be as good. Wait, where's it going to go? If it's not mefapeh, all around, it's got to go somewhere. Where does it go? It lands here, and al atzad, again, this is my sister Shach speaking, al atzad, it's not mefapeh, where does it go? It goes directly in its path. It bumps right into here, which is the best place it can go. We are thrilled that it goes in there. Why are we thrilled that it goes in there? What? Because once it goes in there, gavaldi, for sure you have shishim. You have shishim. You have a billion times shishim. So says the smach. The smach is closer conceptually to the Rambam Ruttenberg in that he holds that mefapeya, the kulo, is good for you. But he disagrees with the Rambam Ruttenberg by saying that even if it's not mefapeya, not mefapeya spelled disaster for the Rambam Ruttenberg, according to the Smach, not mefapeya is also okay for you, provided that it's keneged ha-reit, keneged ha-bosa. The manav shech yokev, mefapeya, it's always bottled. According to the Smach, if it falls keneged ha-reit, it's always bottled. Either it's bottled in all the guk in the wall, so it's bottled in the thing itself. So the pashas that dvarim is that according to the Smach, nothing could possibly go wrong. As long as you were watching and you saw that the drop of milk fell, keneged ha-bosar, nothing could possibly go wrong. And l'chora, there should be no need to do what? No need to what? No need to do anything, right? Where are you going, right? What are you rushing? What could possibly go wrong? Just let it sit and finish. Everything's in mutter and shine. The meat's going to be mutter, the pot, everything's mutter, everything's mutter. The bottom line is, he just checkmated you. There's no way for this tipa to cause any problem. The mutter shock is going to be mutter. And then comes the smach and throws a chumrah at you. What's the chumrah? What? Before we get the shulchan aruch there, what does he tell you? What does he tell you? He says what? What does he say? He says, try your best to do what? Try to get the food out as fast as possible. Right? You know why? Because I don't want using this pot anymore. I don't like using this pot, says the smach. Try to get the food. If you see this happening, go run and quick, get the food out as fast as possible. Why are you getting the food out as fast as possible? Because the pot is treif. Pot is treif. What's the pot treif from? Vermont. He just gave you the mamarsha. What's wrong with the pot? So it's a very, very difficult smach to understand. What is possible? What's wrong? It's great. If Falcon are going to write, sure, but you have to go rush, but enjoy, relax, let it sit there the whole Shabbos. And sure, it's going to be, what's the problem? What's the big deal? So the Echaradim try to figure out what exactly was the problem. Why are you rushing to get the food out? What is treif about the pot? So some Echaradim write that There's nothing really tricky about the pot. There's nothing tricky about the food. There's no real problem here. It just doesn't look right. To the average balabos, looking at this, he sees, the rabbi just said that milk that falls on a pot is okay. Oh, it's a good cooler. I like that cooler. The average person didn't learn the end of Siman Tzadi Beis. The average person. The Baal Rothenberg never understood this. The Smach didn't understand this Mamon. Nobody understood this Mamon of Shach until the Smach came along. So the average person doesn't chop this whole Mamon of Shach. So the average person thinks that the pot's really treif. Well, you have a treif of pot, so we should try to tell you to get the food out of the treif of pot as fast as possible. It's like chubra bi'alma, minig bi'alma, just say yes to say try to get the food out and try to cash in the pot. But the whole thing is lahoyot v'arim. Another Echaredim say, well, maybe another reason. Maybe it's a good idea to get the food out as fast as possible. You know why? Because Kol's mind and leaving the food in, if you could really get that food out right away, you can even avoid having to rely on what we don't like to rely on. What is that? We don't like to rely on bittul. We're not supposed to rely on bittul. Why? What's the rule? Ein what? Ein va'nes l'chadchila. So some Echaredim write that we would like to tell you to get that food out as fast as possible because it's like in Vatnes Lechachila. You're sitting there and watching Bittul happen. Oh, like a schmack. The Tipas Chola fell connected the Basar. And I hold like the smack. I'm watching being Nen Hinimuchum. The Bittul's taking place. It's like a shtickle in Vatnes Lechachila. Try to avoid it if you can. So others say, that's called in Vatnes Lechachila. In Vatnes Lechachila means on Friday afternoon, when I realized that a couple of Yeshiva guys called me up at the last minute, they got stuck on the highway, so they want to come for Shabbos, and my wife doesn't have any more chicken, but it has some chazer in the back, so I'll throw some chazer in to make a little bit more in the soup, but I'll be careful that it's both the mashish, and that's called in Vatnes Lechachila. I'm watching passively as the milk spreads, permeates through the walls of the pot. There's nishkei in Vatnes Lechachila. That's the problem. When you learn some Tzadi tests, you realize that's not in Vatnes Lechachila. So we don't really understand any of this. We have no idea what. The Smach Shtickle Torah, Mamon Shach is so good, we don't know why he even backpedals a little bit and tells you to get the food out and don't rely on Bittul and get the pot. We don't really understand that. The first command is Taka only Bechumr is Minhagi, we don't really understand it. The Ikar Din is that everything is great. Everything is great, as we just said. But it's great, because you have Mamon Shach, everything's home. But everything changed drastically, says the Smach. If the drop of milk falls up here. Okay? If the drop of milk falls up here. Why is everything terrible if the drop of milk falls up here? So let's go through the Mamonoshev, through the different possibilities. So if you hold like that Tzad and the Rishon and that interpretation of Goren Zvachim, that's something with Mefapeh B'chol HaKli. So what happens? So then it falls over here and it starts going all the way up. That would still be great, hunky dory, because again, like the Maamar Rutherberg, the Smach holds fundamentally like the Maamar Rutherberg, that if something's been fapeh v'chol aklis, then all the bli is inside, help to be mishar together, and everything should be home free. So, im tzalama, we would know for a fact that's been fapeh v'chol aklis, we would be great. But back to Zvachim, back to the old Pizman Zvachim, we're not sure, we don't know what the Pshat in the Gemara is. So, we have to be chayshish for the worst case scenario, that it's ainim fapeh v'chol aklis. So what did that mean if it's Enev Vapeya? What was the svax of the stand of Enev Vapeya? Enev Vapeya doesn't mean it sits, it just suns itself. What does it mean? It starts going inside, right? It starts going, instead of going all around the mulberry bush, it goes inside. Unlike in the first case where it fell down here, it went inside, it was this bottle originally in the meat. Where does it go over here? It goes inside and hits. It's air, it's nothing. So it goes till here, through the pot, and sits suspended and doesn't do anything. So everybody say, what just happens now? We have to analyze what just happened when Nafal Kenevet HaReikon. We have to analyze it from two different vantage points. From the vantage point of the food, and from the vantage point to the top of the pot. From the vantage point of the food, no, what's the story of the food? What's the story with the food?
Nothing.
Who's had the gummer, right? Memarashah. He's still Memarashah. Why? Either the oldest Mefapeya. If the Tipas Chalav is Mefapeya, then it became Batal B'Shishim and all the guk inside the walls. If it's not Mefapeya, so big deal. If it's not Mefapeya, so it went over here and not Mefapeya by definition meant it never made it to the bottom, so the food is fine. So there's no shot, nothing could possibly go wrong for the food, maybe, according to this map. Right? Even if it fell connected HaReikon, because the Marashah, if it's Mefapeya, then it's both. If it's not Mefapeya, then it didn't get anywhere near you. So the Chayy should be home free. But you're not so home free, says this map. You know why? Because if it's Nafal connected HaReikon, so it's not shot that it's both there. There's nothing to be mevat, but not like the case when fell in Keneged HaMaleh, when falls Keneged HaReikon, the part where there's no food there, so there's nothing to be mevat with Al Atzad that's not mefapeya. It sits there, and when it sits there, it starts to fester and starts to cause trouble. What possible trouble could it cause you? Well, not only do you have a drop of milk here, that's one problem. you may have more than just a drop of milk there. You may have a serious problem up there in that top, point, that small window where it gets stuck. What may you have there? Who remembers the bad number? What was the worst number that you could have? It was 59. You may have had basar that you're cooking. Not the basar from this basar. This basar never got anywhere near there. But what basar? An Aragos basar. Maybe an hour ago you were cooking basar up to here. So now you have 59 times, and you have the worst possible number, 59 times the basar right smack in that little corner. And now you have one drop of challah falls in. And now gavalt, 59 plus 1. Oh my goodness. What kicks in, Rabbi say? Fatiha nasas mevela. And gavalt, you have a terrible, you have this whole area called chatiha nasas mevela sitting here. So you have this whole area, which is called the chatiha nasas mevela of basar b'chol. Terrible. Terrible, big deal. Who cares, terrible? Yeah.
How is that right there, Beskanam, right there, that place, how is that not contiguous to the entire pot?
Because we're assuming Enim Fapea, remember?
Yeah, it's Seder, but now it's on the pot itself.
No, but that's called Enim Fapea. If it was Mefapea, then we'd never have a problem in the first place.
We're as if seeing, though it's a physical structure that
parts are connected. That's what Enim Fapea means. It's not moving. It's not going anywhere.
Is it also something that's connected to them?
Yeah. If there's no Chanamah Kalim, then we have nothing to discuss. Almost nothing to discuss. Okay? So comes the smach and says, if fell keneged harekan, the food is great, because Maman of Shek, the food is all right. The area of the pot may be problematic. If you hold it in with Pepe Bakul, then the small area of the pot is bad. It's not just bad one tipa worth of chalav, it's bad 59 plus one tchanan. But so we're looking at this, and we're saying, okay, so we'll figure out what to do with the pot. We're going to throw it to dispose of the pot. We're going to throw the pot out of it tomorrow anyway. We don't care about the pot. I want to eat the food. Says the smach, I have no problem with eating the food. There's just one small problem you have to be careful about. You have to figure out how to get that food out without having the food come out with contact with this small area. Because if by some chance you decide to empty out the contents of this pot and you pour it out right smack over this area, then you're asking for trouble. Because you're now going to create a real balia between about 59 plus one area of basar b'chol, corresponding to whatever's inside this tafshil, and you're asking for trouble. Why? Because if you make that mistake and you pour out the food over that area, tip it over in that direction of the pot, then you have to go back to the drawing board, go back to Maharam School of Math, right? And the only way to be able to salvage that is, catch this one, you have to have how much? 3,600 times to that tipa of that stuff that's coming out. Right? That may not be so simple to do. I mean, the stuff that's being poured over that edge of the pot, it's got to be 3,600 times of that amount of tafshil that's coming over that area. Otherwise, you have a potential safek chatichanas nevela in your hands. That's the smach's chumrah that I just threw at you. So now what do you do? Practically. So what's the eitzah? So the smach doesn't just create problems, it creates solutions also. So it gives you a few possible solutions. So what are some of the good ideas to do? So one possible idea is so don't pour it out that way, pour it out the other way. Not the most practical, because you never know, you start to pour, it's going to bubble over, it gets tricky. Another great idea is what? Sit and wait until it cools down. What's the rush? How long does it take to cool down? So if you sit and wait until it cools down, if everything's cold, so like, what do we call it? Tonin, betonin, badocha, right? So pour it over the treifa corner of the pot. Loch potli. That's another great eitz. Okay, good. So those are the two eitzes. So you decide, I'm going to try to pour over this end, and you realize you're a big clutch, you have no idea how to pour out the soup even in a normal way, so you can get it all over the place. So you don't want to go that route. So you tell your wife, okay, no problem, we can wait it out. I told my wife one time in our married life, we had the shadow of Tipas Chol Shenofa al Kedar Mibachutz. It was Erev Shavuos. I'm celebrating the past. Erev Shavuos, all the basar b'chol has come. That's what the Baruch Hashem reminds us. Bikurim lo sevashu di b'chol vimo. You have to be careful of basar b'chol and Shavuos also. So my wife was making meatballs, and my brother-in-law was making cheese blintzes, and the cheese blintzes spritzed onto the kederas basar b'chutz, and I was going bananas. So I get so excited. I said, wow, let's wait till it cools off. I had no idea it was a connect. I'm all a connect. I wasn't watching. We didn't have a video camera on what was going on. So worst case scenario, I said, no big deal. Let's wait until it cools down. Even though if it was connected Hamale, we try to get it out early, but that was only a chumrah. That's only a minute, so that doesn't really matter. I mean, it doesn't matter as much. But if it fell connected Areka, and I said, let's chill and wait out a little bit, literally chill, just relax, let everything cool down. So this was 2 o'clock in the afternoon in Erev Shavuos. So I said, you don't take the meatballs out right away, let them sit. It'll cool down in a minute. 4 hours later, the meatballs were still blazing hot. It doesn't cool down so fast. So what do? So here you have Shalom Bayis issues now. My wife wants to empty out the meatballs. See, I just told her the pot's straight. So we're trying to empty out the meatballs, and we don't want to pour it out the other way, and we don't want to pour it out this way because it's still hot. So the Smach Baruch Hashem gives us another Eitzah. What's the other Eitzah? Drill a hole in the bottom of the pot, okay? You don't want to move this pot. The person says, don't move the pot, because if you move the pot, so it may start to move around, and then what was once Kenegan Reikon may now become Kenegan Hamole, and now you're going to have trouble. So you have to be really, really careful. You got to go underneath the pot and take your drill and start to drill through your pot to make a hole in the pot. So my wife is an Eishes Chayil, but that much she wasn't willing to do. And even if she would have told me I could do it, I wouldn't have no idea how to drill. I can't even put a hole in the bang of a mezuzah in. So a couple of times I drill a hole in the pot. So that wasn't an option either. So we're still waiting. That was, I think, 19 years ago in Shavuot. We're still waiting for the pot to cool down. I mean, it's not so plush. So these are all the eights of the smach. Otherwise, your mom should have come. So let's say the guy was Chuckman and all the eights. He didn't want to wait for it to cool down, and he didn't pour it out the other end, and his wife didn't like it, make a hole in the bottom of the pot. He went ahead and he blew it. And your mamish went ahead and he poured it over the edge, over the bad edge. So he starts to calculate. Now he's doing his math. He's got his calculator 3,600 times, right? So comes the Smach and says, well, not always. Not necessarily always you need 3,600 times. But it's not always chatichanas nevela. Not necessarily. Why? Let's make the cheshbon, right? You always have chaticha nasas nevela over here to reckon with. Well, you only have chaticha nasas nevela if you have what? What do you have to have chaticha nasas nevela? You have to really know that you have 59 times a basar in here. Okay? So how do you know you have 59 times a basar in there? You have to have known that when did you use this pot last? In the last 24 hours. Anything that happened before 24 hours ago, we couldn't care less about. It's nice and top of gam, and everybody knows that top of gam doesn't pose any real problems with the effort, right? So it's got to be within the last 24 hours you cooked meat. What do you mean within the last 24 hours? I'm cooking meat right now. What's the answer? That doesn't matter, because that's not going up here. If it went up here, then you'd be okay. So you have to have that in the last 24 hours I cooked meat to the higher point where the challah fell onto. So I'm trying to remember, did I do that or not do that? I did that. So if I cooked meat in the last 24 hours, then the 3,600 number starts to kick in. What if I didn't cook meat in the last 24 hours, mixing up. In the last 24 hours, what if I cooked potatoes in the last 24 hours? Let's try to think about that, right? So I cooked potatoes in the last 24 hours, and now the milk is spritzing onto those potatoes. So I'll say, Chaticha nase, what's the next word? Cholov. Right? I'll say it like this. I'll learn this. Oh, I learned this again. Chaticha nase nevela. So in the last 24 hours, I happen not to have cooked basa, Baruch Hashem. I did cook potatoes. So let's say when the little drop of milk falls onto the loads and loads, 59 molecules of potatoes, that all 59 molecules of potatoes and cholov join together, and now it becomes chaticha nase cholov, and I have 60 molecules of milk, and I have the same problem with the math with the meat spritzing over it. So comes the smach and tells me, don't worry about that. You know why? Because there is no cloud called chaticha nasas cholov. There's chaticha nasas nevela. There's no such thing called chaticha nasas cholov. Baruch Hashem. We'll get to that later on. Sefer Truma. The Rai is for that you say. So comes the smach and says, this problem of tibas cholov nafla kenegan harekan that creates such a problem that you need 3,600 times, it's not always true. It's not as bad as it sounds, says the smach. It's only true if and when you have a real tam bosser in there within the last 24 hours. It's got to be dafka tam bosser, not tam yerokos, not some power of a taste. If you have meat in the last 24 hours, then you're home free. If you have meat in the last 24 hours, then you have a problem, and then and only then do you need the 3,600 times. So that's pretty much the sizing up of the situation according to the smach. So unlike the Mam Rutenberg who asked it everything, unlike the smach who basically asked it everything, each one for their own reason, the smach has a lot of coolness. He says if it's connected to Basa, then everything's for sure okay, because it's Mamadar Shachla had there. And Chumrus Biyam and Hakam not to use the pot, but those are the details. But fundamentally, everything's butter in the food plus the pot. If it's connected to Harekan, so then the food is for sure okay. The pot is problematic, and as long as you don't run into the Nela problem, or even if you have a potential one, you were just very, very careful how you did it, so then you're going to be home free. Adkan Divri Hasna. That's the Ikra Din Shulchan Aruch. That's the Ikra Din we try to follow the Shita. Comes Shulchan Aruch and then quotes, as an afterthought, calls the name of Rabbeinu Yechiel, one of the Ba'al Tov Paris, who says that, you know, if you're really, really, really stuck, what's called really stuck in halacha? Who knows what's called really stuck? What's really stuck? It's a Shabbos, a Yontif, a lot of Archim. I'm really, really, really stuck. So then we can be a little bit more makel. We don't have to be so machmir, says Rabbeinu Yechiel. We can be a little bit more makel in the Shabbos. What does it mean? What exactly does that mean to be a little more makel? It means, I don't need Rabbeinu Yechiel to tell me when falls connected how Mali can be made for that. We already know we pass like the spot. So obviously we're being more makel, even in the case of Kineged HaReka. Well, what does that mean we're being Mekel? How Mekel are we being Mekel? So we have different versions as to just how far can we be Mekel on Erev Shabbos. How much for Shas HaChak? Well, what can Shas HaChak help us? So the Gra suggests that maybe what we're willing to do for Shas HaChak is to ignore the whole issue of Chetik Nas Nevel over here. Just forget Chetik Nas Nevel. Just throw it out the window, the whole Chetik Nas Nevel. Why? And what gives us the right to forget all Chetik Nas Nevel over here? So you already said it before. What are we assuming? Any Rishon who's invoking Chetik Nas Nevel over here is invoking a very mechudish type of Chetik Nas Nevel. We have never ever seen until this point this idea, this application of Chetik Nas Nevel. Why? We usually think of Chetik Nas Nevel taking place inside a piece of meat, a Chetik Nas Nevel. This is a Chetik Nas Nevel where? Inside Blias? Inside Blias of a pot that there's such a concept called Chetik Nas Nevel? That's already quite a statement. The Chetik Nas Nevel even exists in the Blias of a pot. I can think of some Rishonim who may question that. Who remember some of the things we spoke about last week? Taught to call a bliya what? Yeah. Chaticha. Now again, we weren't sure what the Mordechai meant with that line. I can think of a lot of reasons why Chaticha may not apply inside a bliya zepah. Who remembers way, way back, a long time ago, we spoke about, is the bas b'chav der ice inside bliyas? We're not even sure there's bas b'chav der ice inside bliyas. So the idea of Chaticha as the vela inside the walls of a pot is a highly questionable topic. Now again, we saw Rishonim who said it, the Maharam Rutenberg for sure said it, because he's the first one who got the numbers hiked up to 3,600. Anyone who changes 60 to 3,600 is invoking Chetik Nas Nevel inside the walls of the pot. The Smak also accepted Chetik Nas Nevel inside the walls of the pot. But not everybody, the Ramban, there are other Rishonim who said, well, there is no such thing as Chetik Nas Nevel inside the walls of the pot. So hopefully we're going to come back to this. It's going to keep on repeating itself. This idea of, is the Chetik Nas Nevel inside the walls of the pot? Coming up in Siman Tzadi Dalar, we're going to talk about with the Leidos, Maisalach, about is the Chetik Nas Nevel inside the walls of the pot? B'chlal. So it could be, says the Gra, that on Erev Shabbos we're willing to look the other way. On Erev Shabbos we'll be meichel on the Chetik Nas Nevela. If you're meichel on the Chetik Nas Nevela, so then l'chora, if it falls connected to Reikon, the problem is a moot problem. Why? What would we tell you to do? What's the best idea? If it falls connected to Reikon, what would we tell you to do? You don't have to wait till it cools down. You don't have to drill holes the bottom of your pie. You don't have to pour it the other way. What can you do? Just pour it down the side. What's going to happen? You're going to pour it down the side as well. What's going to happen? What's the terrible thing that's going to happen? The little tiny mash of one teapot is going to be batel. And no matter how you pour, I mean, unless you pour like a klutz, you pour one drop at a time. If you pour normally, so whatever chulin is going to fall on the side of the pot, it's immediately going to be batel on teapot's cholim. The only reason why the smach was hesitating to let you pour is because when you have to be mevatel 3,600, that kens on you won't have. If you have 60, you're not going to have, it's something you're going to have. Hello, what are you worried about? How can we let you pour? It's a violation of what? Of maybe ain't what? Eim vatnes l'chachila, we get the Siman Tzadi test, we come to the realization that Eim vatnes l'chachila, according to many Rishonim, only applies what? When it's kavanos l'vatel, when you really want to be mevatel. If you're doing it for some other, you have another agenda. So many Rishonim say there's no Eim vatnes l'chachila. Big machlokes in Rishonim, we'll get those Siman Tzadi test. So therefore, it could be that we really pass like the smach. The smach chosh tukotar is really, really right. His memonim shach is right. His over here is also right, but his idea that he's stuck in the student of Chetikhanas Nevela, because the smack was going with those Rishonim, was like, this Nevela applies in Belias inside the walls of a pot. If we're not so convinced that last Nakud is true, then we're going to be much, much less concerned. So it could be that's what we're willing to make a law on Erev Shabbos. Maybe, Kenzan. Maybe my case qualified as the Erev Yantaf. Maybe qualified as the Kula. Maybe. Comes the smack and says, continues on, and says, I gave you almost every single case. Right, I gave you a case of Keneged Hamale, where everything is good. I gave you Keneged Reikon, where almost everything is good, depending on how you pour. I give you one last scenario. What's the last scenario? It's Nafla Keneged Hawat. Keneged Hawat. Keneged Aish. Which it falls not all the way up here, not away all the way over here. It falls mamish by the fire, where the fire, where the flames are licking the pot. It falls there. Says, you know what the smock says about that? What does he say? You won't get that problem. Says, forget everything. Everything's butter. Well, everything's butter. It disappears. It's swallowed up by the fire. Eats the whole thing up. Nothing to worry about. It had to go. No problem whatsoever. That's the third part of the smach. So according to the smach, you have to always ask yourself, is it falling connected to this part, connected to that part, another part? If it falls connected to Aish, then everything, then you're home. Everything is fine. So,
yeah.
That's what the Bader Shulchan writes. But Shulchan writes that this last part of the smach is irrelevant for us. You know why? Because it falls connected to Aish. Because man, is that we don't have the flames hitting on top of the pot. We have the flames hitting on the bottom part of the pot, but it's going to fall. It's going to fall underneath the flames, onto the pot. Because anywhere it's going to be falling is not really connected to H. We don't have the real equivalent of connected to H. So it sounds like the third case of the smach is nice, but irrelevant for us. So don't forget it, because it's going to come back to, in terms of kashering grates and kashering stuff on the flames. Maybe we're able to, Moshe brought this smach back to life. Okay? So again, so at the end of the day, we basically paskin like this shit is a smach, but there are three different places where it's going to fall. And it all depends if it falls connected to Tavshil, or connected to Reikon, or connected to Eish. Connected to Tavshil, everything is great meat with Dim and Manavshach. If it's connected to Reikon, so then you're missing Dim and Manavshach. But as long as you can figure out an Eitz how to get it out without passing over the bad point, so then you're home free. And if it's connected to Eish, in theory, whatever that case means, so it's going to be totally moot. And then you have the Groz, and then you have the Shulchan Aruch, and the Mechil, and the Groz just watering down. It's possible that we can be Mekil on the Chetikhanas Nevela part of the story, even when there is potential Chetikhanas Nevela, everything's a Ben Yomo, when it was meat Ben Yomo, and everything, maybe we can look the other way on the Chetikhanas Nevela inside Kenya. But Akopan, this whole smack was all built on the assumption that half the Maramutmurg is right, that the more Mefapea, the better. If it's Mefapea, then the whole shah was a mut shah because it gets revapal with all the vliyas inside the pot, everything is mutter. The whole issue only became an issue outside that it's not mefapeh, which is all diametrically opposed to the smag, who was learning the exact opposite, that the more mefapeh, the worse it is, the less mefapeh, the better it is. Three different approaches in the Mishnah, how to take that Gemara Masechet Zvachim, try to plug it into this case. Okay? So I try again, this is a tough sugya, this whole shtickle Torah about the is a complicated sugya. I tried to streamline a little bit the three basic halachim and the Rishonim, and it all revolves around the Gemara Masechet Zevachim. But most of the emphasis of the halacha is on the smach, the different cases, three different cases of the smach, just to understand what the Maman Rishachs are, to understand what the Eitzes are when this happens. I'll just quote what Rabbi Willick said to me when I called him that Erev Shavuos with the Shaila. He said to me, "This is the Shaila that's not supposed to happen." That's what he said. He said, "It's too complicated. Think through. It's 3,600 deck. It's too complicated. So try. When this happens, tell people, no, it didn't really happen. It's not supposed to happen. Okay? Make sure when you spritz your, when you make your cheese blintzes, you shouldn't have meatballs cooking on the other furnace." Okay. The rest of it, we'll stop here because the next sugi is really a whole new sugi, the sugi of Zeya. Is everyone up to us in the Mamre Kermes? Yeah, pretty much? Okay, because I'm Shem on Tuesday, so we'll start the sugi of You guys have Mircha?
No,
I was done with that.